Well, good morning. Thank you. My name is Sarek Mattson, and I'll be sharing with you today the results of some of my PhD research on, again, using plants to help remediate soil, here talking about soil arsenic contamination. So overall, I'm interested in helping community groups unlock the potential of urban agriculture to help strengthen community food security by helping them negotiate the threat of soil contamination, particularly in urban soils. Now, we know that soil lead is a major problem in urban areas. It turns out soil arsenic contamination is also an issue in the U.S. as well as internationally, with sources including the mining and smelting industry, wood preservation, use of arsenical pesticides, which can be applied to railroad right-of-ways as well as to agricultural fields. We're interested in helping community groups identify low-cost and sustainable methods for remediating soil arsenic contamination. So we're working with phytoremediation, or phytoextraction specifically, the use of green plants to remove arsenic from the soil while leaving the soil in place. We're working with the fern, Pteris vittata, the brake fern, which has been shown to absorb arsenic from the soil into its roots through the phosphate intake pathways, and then translocate the arsenic to its fronds, the above-ground biomass, where it's stored at concentrations reaching well over 1,000 milligrams per kilogram. In our research, we then harvest the fronds, removing the arsenic from the site. We dispose of the fronds as hazardous waste, and we leave the rhizomes to regrow perennially. Now, there has been considerable research done on the fern since it was identified as an arsenic hyperaccumulator in 2001, with most studies occurring under greenhouse conditions in sandy soils. It's been hypothesized that fertilizers could increase uptake rates in the fern. Remediation times are still relatively slow, estimated to be on the order of decades using the fern to extract arsenic. And in fact, the shortest remediation times so far were identified in ferns that were grown in sandy soils and supplied with phosphate rock. So overall, our objectives are to optimize phytoextraction efficiency using the brake fern here specifically by determining the effects of soil texture and soil fertilization on arsenic extraction by the fern working under complex field conditions. Our field site is a prospective community farm in the city of Berkeley. It is a former railroad right-of-way with arsenic concentrations in the range of 20 to 200 milligrams per kilogram. And the soil is quite compacted and contains fill as well as the native soil. So to establish our experiment, we first tilled the soil to mix in any arsenic hotspots and then planted 1,400 P. vittata ferns in a plot, and then subdivided that plot to apply one of five treatments, either compost, one of two forms of nitrogen, and then one of two forms of phosphorus. And then we compare the arsenic uptake rates in those plots to the control ferns, which did not receive any fertilizer treatment. So despite the tilling, we find that we continue to have a gradient in soil arsenic concentrations at the site. Here, moving on a transect on the north side of our site from point A to point B, we see that we do have a peak of higher arsenic concentrations in the middle of our plot, a pattern that is reproduced, although less pronounced, on the south end of our plot, here moving from point C to point D. And we also find a gradient in soil texture. We find that we do have sandier textured soils indicated by the yellow and orange symbols on the west and in the middle of our plot, which we speculate would be the fill brought in for the railroad grade. And then we have the native silty clay loam indicated by the red symbols on the east side of our plot. So then putting together the texture and the arsenic concentration data for the rest of the talk, I'll be referring to three zones within our plot: a clay soil zone with arsenic on average 50 ppm, a transitional texture zone with average arsenic 120 milligrams per kilogram, and then a sandy textured zone with average arsenic 80 milligrams per kilogram. So the results I'll be presenting today are from our three annual fern frond harvests, where we sample 10% of the fronds that we harvest for arsenic frond arsenic concentration, frond biomass, and then also frond nutrient content. And moving on to our results, all the graphs I'll be showing today are in the same format where we have texture on the x-axis, and then the three panels show the 3 years of our results, year one, year two, and year three. And then the results from the different textural zones are shown by the different symbols. The zones from the sandy zone indicated by the yellow diamonds, from the transition zone indicated by the orange squares, and from the clay zone indicated by the red triangles. And so here, looking at the frond arsenic concentrations, we do see the highest concentrations in our control plot and find that treatment does decrease the frond arsenic concentration. And of course, you might think, well, is this simply because the ferns that received the fertilizer treatments were larger, so this is simply a dilution effect. But in fact, we do not see any effect of treatment on biomass here, the mature frond biomass in grams. But we do see an effect of texture on biomass. We see the biomass is significantly lower in the clay-textured soils, where we also saw higher fern mortality due to the poor drainage in that part of our field. So I would speculate that this would be an effect of soil texture and not the correlated soil arsenic concentration. So then combining the frond arsenic concentration data with the biomass data, I calculated a remediation rate here in the arsenic uptake rate in kilograms per hectare per year. And we do see a faster remediation rate in the ferns grown in the soil with the higher arsenic concentrations, so indicated by the orange and yellow symbols, whereas the rate was significantly lower in the clay soil, which had the lower amount of arsenic. And then we also see significantly lower uptake rates in the ferns that received the nitrogen and phosphorus treatments compared to the control, whereas the uptake in the compost ferns was not significantly different than the control. And then just estimating a remediation time in our plot to bring the soil down to a hypothetical regulatory limit of 10 milligrams per kilogram arsenic, the shortest time would be 17 years to remediate our plot based on the uptake rate in the control ferns grown in the clay soil. But so in working with this data, I really wanted to think about a way that I could separate these confounded factors of the soil texture and the soil arsenic concentrations. So remembering that we have the lowest soil arsenic concentration in the clay soil and the highest soil arsenic concentration in the transition zone. So to do that, I calculated the percent arsenic removed, so normalizing the total amount of arsenic taken up into the fern by the total amount of arsenic available in a 30-centimeter cubic root zone. And here we don't see an effect of texture once we've normalized for the soil arsenic concentration, which is very interesting. Given that arsenic is known to be more strongly sorbed in clay soils, typically due to the higher surface area and the higher iron oxide content. So even though I saw the lower frond arsenic concentrations in the ferns grown in the clay soil, and I also saw the lower biomass in those ferns, that doesn't transfer into a significant effect of texture here once we've normalized for the soil arsenic content. So this is very exciting, showing that the fern can remove arsenic from soils regardless of clay content. And then we also did see a lower percent uptake in the treated soils compared to the control like we've previously seen. And I just wanted to focus a little bit more on what might be going on in the ferns that received the phosphorus treatment, since we know that both phosphorus and arsenic are taken up by the phosphorus intake pathway, the P transporters in the roots. So to do that, on a mole-for-mole basis, I looked at the molar ratio of phosphorus to arsenic in the above-ground biomass. So here, looking at that, we do see a significantly higher molar ratio of phosphorus to arsenic in the ferns that received the phosphorus treatment, which could be evidence for competition of the phosphorus with the arsenic, and it's certainly not surprising since these ferns did receive that supplemental phosphorus. And then we also see a significantly higher molar ratio in the ferns that receive the compost, indicating that compost, as we might expect, is also an important source of P for the fern. And then we do also see a significantly higher molar ratio in the ferns in the clay soil, again indicated by the red triangles, which again is not surprising given that these soils did have a lower arsenic concentration and does again indicate that the fern can successfully access phosphorus from clay soils. And given that our data also show that the fern can access arsenic from clay soils, we would hypothesize that the fern is using the same mechanism to access both phosphorus and arsenic. So, to summarize, we did find that soil arsenic concentration affects arsenic uptake in the fern, with our lowest rates in the clay soil, which did have the lower arsenic concentration. And overall, we found that fertilization did decrease uptake rates compared to unfertilized ferns. And then we did show that the fern can access both phosphorus and arsenic from clay-textured soils, with, in fact, our best remediation time estimated at 17 years to remediate clay soils with 50 ppm. So this is interesting that in terms of remediation, it's not necessarily a high uptake rate that we're looking for, but actually a soil with a lower amount of arsenic to begin with. And to conclude, our results do suggest that fertilization with P decreases phytoextraction efficiency, whereas compost does not interfere with phytoextraction efficiency and could even enhance it. So in future work, we will be looking more closely at these very interesting interactions of phosphorus and arsenic right in the rhizosphere. I would like to thank you all for your attention. Also, I'd like to acknowledge my funders, the community partners we work with at our field site, and my very supportive lab group. So thanks again, and I'm happy to take any questions. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's very interesting because then it suggests that this would be an application of bioavailable contaminant stripping where you can remove the more phytoavailable arsenic, and then it could conceivably be used for the community orchard that was intended while there's still residual arsenic in the soil. I don't have that from the field site, but I will be obtaining that data from a soil column study that I'm setting up. Yeah, I agree. Yes. Yes, I think it would be here. The pH is circumneutral, right around 7.